Hello, welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. If you are like most, you are here because you want to gain insights on how to best scale a business. To achieve optimum scaling, many metrics are important. Sales, leads, cost of customer acquisition, gross revenues. However, as you know, no statistic is as important as profits, both net and gross. For over a decade, your host, Richard Doherty, has helped his clients increase their profits, often turning them into profit-rich winners. To help listeners like you achieve stellar profits in business, Richard has written an ebook entitled Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It includes profit-making advice from Richard, as well as some of the top guests he's had on the podcast. Just for listening, it is yours free. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. Now, over to the show with Richard Doherty, founder and host.
Hello, I'm Richard Doherty, CEO and founder of Scale Up Consulting and author of Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. And I believe right now there are fantastic opportunities to grow your business, even in the height of what could be quite a deep recession. But what you need to do in order to find those opportunities is you need to look in the right places. And super excited, really excited to have Sydney on the show today. Sydney is the CEO and founder of both the FinTech World Group and also the FinTech World Summit. He's also a veteran? Can I say that? Am I allowed to say that?
A veteran.
Yeah, I know. I'm going with him. He's got 30 years experience. So, over 30 years experience in Silicon Valley. And he's held numerous senior positions as an investor, as a community leader, as a startup founder. So, Sydney, super excited to have you on the show today and to discuss an important topic. Welcome.
Thank you, Richard. Thanks for having me, and say hello and ciao to your audience out there. I know they're very smart people out there, and I am actually one of the people that watching your show and always enjoy to bring the guests over here, and I'm honored to be here today.
Brilliant. And folks, as always, before we jump into it, I'd like to give you a synopsis of where we're going today, a bird's eye view, right? And as everyone knows out there, FinTech is, if not the hottest, one of the hottest areas of investment for VCs, especially over, the 2021 period. I think every dollar out of five was invested and flowed into FinTech startups during that period. But, with the economic uncertainty on our doorsteps and the possibility, folks, of a recession around the corner, investors are writing fewer and smaller checks. And they're getting much more selective about the kind of companies they want to back. And just recently, something popped into my feed, a CB Insights article that said, global venture investment in fintech firms sank by 18% in the first quarter of 2022. But that does not mean all doom and gloom, folks. It does not mean all doom and gloom. There are opportunities out there. But where are they? What's hot right now and what's not? And who better to talk about this topic with me than Sydney? And Sydney, let's pull you into the show and let's start at the top. Let's be optimistic about the future today. And from your point of view right now, what are investors looking for right now? What do you think are the hot topics that need to be looked at and thought about by those startup founders either scaling their businesses or starting out on their businesses?
Yeah, Richard, thanks. Full disclosure, I normally, give my opinion, but I would not give any kind of a financial advice to anyone. They all have to do their own due diligence, talk to their attorneys, to the financial advisor. I just give my opinion. So I have to mention to you, no one knows, but, being in Silicon Valley, being in New York and travel a lot of places and looking at some of those, outlook and, some of those due diligence that you look at it and what is the economy is going on and what is in fintech. Yes, you are right. There's about 18% down, but these are the days that everybody in America or in Silicon Valley or different places, they're looking for restructuring, not so much in their financing, but coming up with a new product. There are some new products out there. So it's a good time, basically, you know, a lot of these companies go back to the basic and, you know, start, you know, coming up with the, you know, perfect the products that they have and, you know, and fintech and or come up with a new innovation. This is what's being done right now. And I always go back, you know, with the talk to my friends and out there be among ourselves. I go bring the code of the Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill used to say, I mean, it was a quote for him, famous quote, the optimist, you know, always looking for opportunity. Pessimist always looking for not opportunity. You know, there's something like that over there. You know, yeah, you know, something. So if you're optimist, you know, you can find, you know, and oh yeah, that's that too. I remember that was this exactly said there. Optimist looking for, you know, no, not danger. You know, so always. So it's there. You know, right now in the Silicon Valley, basically a lot of people that, you know, they got the stocks are down, you know, it was overvaluated, you know, in New York and a lot of places global, you know, after pandemic. So, you know, people just got excited, you know, the temperature of the all, you know, everything went up basically. So, but now it's backing up, which is a good thing. And I see it, you know, as a kind of, you know, compliance and all this other thing issue that it has to do with the fintech.
Oh, I like what you're saying then. You know, I sort of echo your opinion. I mean, this is not a show around investment advice at all. It's more around, you know, at least some market opinion that we've seen out there, and we're bringing it to the forefront for a discussion, folks. It's a discussion to at least kick off the next generation of innovation, right? And in all honesty, a couple of the things that I'm seeing out there, I feel that, you know, investors and the market in general is still sort of obsessed with the idea of making and accepting less onerous payments, right? Making that payments journey much more easier for consumers. That's one thing that I still see as maybe not as sexy as the likes of crypto or BNPL, but something out there that I still see investors wanting to pursue. I know a good friend of mine, Jordan Lawrence, and the Vault team, they're doing some pretty interesting stuff in that space right now. And I think they're looking to expand their offering in the open banking payment space. So that's, you know, one area that seems to be quite interesting. And also, this has been in the background for a number of years. Banking as a service and embedded finance or embedded insurance, these types of products and or services seem to be hitting I don't want to say the headlines, but seem to be maybe higher up the shopping list from an investor point of view and also from a customer point of view. I don't know if you had an opinion on that or you've seen something slightly different in the market.
Yeah, no, I mean, you speak of the crypto. I mean, it's just been a big phenomenon. I mean, and I have actually some interest that, you know, never had tremendous, you know, we always wait to see what's available, but I really believing in technology of the blockchain. And I think somehow you can implement the blockchain technology to the fintech because decentralized everything is to our benefit, basically, you know, I mean, so I can see, you know, new innovations coming, which already IBM and Oracle and a lot of other people, they're working with their platform, you know, for decentralized blockchain and kind of integrated with their fintech. And that's another avenue that I think was going to be foreseen that's going to happen. But crypto itself, you know, it just started, as you know, and the Bitcoin and all those other ones, basically. And it's like anything else has the heat and comes down. Now here we are talking about crypto winter, you know, crypto crash, and, you know, which is, I live in Silicon Valley during the, you know, the 90s with everybody come up with a little .com and they raise a lot of money. I was there actually. And, you know, and there's a good book about it. And I recommend, you know, to somebody, not by your book, it's called Nudists in the Late Shift, basically, you know, it's Bo, and I forgot his last name, but it's a show. It's that show between all those companies. Some of them that don't even exist, but the one that, you know, exists right now, we have the Google, we have, you know, PayPal, we have other, to see that over there, one of the biggest, you know, companies, PayPal, but there were other ones before that they just didn't have, you know, maybe the weight, maybe, or they sold it. So to answer your question, you know, there's some other new innovations coming up, you know, in fintech. And one of them is not, it's not when you talk about crypto and they talk about NFT, everybody think is a coin or it's not really, you know, I mean, NFT is non-fungible token. It's a concept. It's a technology, basically, that you can see a digital identity of every individual or your bank account, you know, without anybody knows about it, you know. So those are that I see that basically now for things settled down will be rising.
Yeah, nice. And, you know, in the immediate future, I mean, I know there's, you know, everyone's obviously maybe not looking at investing in the next crypto exchange, but what about the crypto infrastructure? You know, there still needs to be a lot of building done in that space. So maybe there's not as many scams. We're keeping the horror stories away from the press, right? So, you know, things such as that tech, that infrastructure still needs to be built, no matter whether the market goes up or goes down, right? And again, that's not sexy, but still something for maybe the KYC folk, the AML folk, that still needs to be built, still needs to develop, and still needs to mature, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, as a matter of fact, European Union just did, I think they passed a law or they're working on it, you know, to having some of the regulations, some of the compliances on this respect. And then, which is a good thing for the industry. You know, I mean, anything as they were always late to coming, you know, and that's a good thing and a bad thing is, you know, because innovations, you know, entrepreneurship, they're not going to stop some politicians come back from the, you know, recessions, you know, and they come up with the law. They do what it is. And unfortunately, there are people coming out there. Everybody's there. Some of them very genuine. They, you know, but you have to do your own things and kind of wait. But compliance is a good thing, you know, and I know European Union is working on here in America. SEC is working on, you know, coming with some sort of kind of, a, you know, laws and their regulations. There are some laws in place right now. So everybody has to kind of be careful. But we're talking about fintech and, you know, how can you relate the fintech to the this blockchain or non-fungible token. And there are ways to do that, basically. And right now, I mean, if anybody out there, if they're looking at these companies that they've been around for a long time, companies, I don't want to name them, but the companies that they've been there for a long time, they put this thing in added, you know, value to their customers. You and I, we talk, you know, a couple in our session and, you know, and I was mentioning to you, fintech is something global and what works with America, it doesn't necessarily, you know, work in England. What works in England doesn't work for Africa because it's a good thing, basically, you know, I mean, you know, Africans or, you know, the farmers and other people, they use this fintech. They don't have to go miles and miles away to pay the electricity bill to, you know, pay. So it's a good functioning stuff. And basically that's, but you have to look at the, each area, each country and its value. So that's what you have to keep in the price.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, important. I mean, every market's different, right?
Yes.
And every market has different needs. And we've seen that play out in the BNPL space. I mean, you know, Klarna has absolutely, you know, the valuation's been, you know, hit massively over the last few weeks, even last few days. And, you know, maybe the B2C side of things with regards to BNPL is not so great right now, but talking to, you know, people in the market, there seems to be more appetite for BNPL on the B2B side, right? Yeah. So business to business lending, you know, I don't know, that's definitely something of a, I don't want to say this, there's definitely some take up of that in Europe. Is it something similar happening over in the US or not?
Well, it's, you know, I mean, this is, I mean, I agree with it, it's more of a B2B, but, you know, I mean, sometimes these B2B, it's not, you know, the consumer, I mean, it's good for economy, but, you know, B2C is where consumers are the ones that driving the economy anywhere in the world. And so that's to consideration. I mean, you have a good value, you have to make it easy. Years ago, nobody was going to pay their bill over the, you know, telephone, I mean, or the internet, and or right now, you know, just punching your number, punching your credit card, and easily you can pay your bill. You don't need to mail it. You know, mail is obsolete. So some of these things, it works for the B2B, or some of them is still is the B2C. But consumer, to me, consumers is, you know, is the one driving the whole notion of the economy and everything. But I want to talk to you about, I mean, to your audience and yourself about something that I see, because
please.
One of the things that I always, you know, pride myself, I have, you know, whether in Europe, in with the, you know, internet appliances and other thing. I mean, I've always been a good place in a good time. I kind of looking at what's coming next, basically. And I saw you know, like companies like, you know, PayPal and Make It Easy and, you know, other companies, you know, like Google before,
yeah.
You know, and there was Alta Vista, but Google came protected. Being in Silicon Valley kind of gave me that leverage of, you know, going to a lot of different. So I have them, to, you know, basically to take a look, go to some of these shows. I mean, I know in London, you guys have some good shows, you know, that exhibition. And now after pandemic will be good to look around to see what it is. I normally go in Europe to the Viva Technology in Paris, which is, that's a great show. I mean, and I think they let everybody come. It's not for just professional. I mean, the audience can go look around, see what's there. Just have fun, take a look at see what is out there.
Yeah, no, agreed. And there's a lot of innovation in the space. And I think also if you take a look at, you know, the financial services ecosystem as a whole, the likes of JP Morgan, Goldman, they're starting to flex their muscles, maybe is the word I'm looking for. I mean, you know, obviously JP have heavily invested sort of in tech and fintech in particular. And I think over this, you know, they're obviously, I don't think, I mean, over the last couple of years as they launched Chase Digital Bank, they've steamrolled and really grown their customer base. I think even quicker than the likes of Revolut and Stripe and whatever. And these players with larger and maybe more stable balance sheets, how do you see them continue to drive out their solutions and also reinvest in the ecosystem over the next 2 to 3 years as we see this market slightly shift?
So, yeah, that's a great question, Richard. But like anything else, you have to look at what year we're in. Back in the 80s, we had other people over there, millennials come, right, and Generation X. See, what do you got to go? I mean, all these companies traditionally, that's why, they, you know, they're traditional customers. I mean, I used to go to the companies, you know, like and pay, you know, buy a stock, go home with your certificate. This is not the case. That's why you see the companies like Robinhood and the old younger people come and they start, you know, buying. Yes, the volume is not like hedge fund managers and other things. And so you got to look at, you know, how you bring the younger people to this illusion of, you know, fintech or economy. So yes, you have those big JP Morgan and all those other one, but there are companies, they come up and they find the audience that they never were involved. This is a good thing, basically. And it still has to be regulated. You know, they still learning experience for them, but we have to bring new generation to this market, basically. And that's what I look for. Some of the, you see, they get surprised to see some companies like Robinhood all the way, you know, just coming, because it's like always like a being, you know, the new generation doesn't want to, you know, go. I mean, I remember when Hotmail coming, a lot of other people, they didn't want to go to the Hotmail, or they didn't want to go to, you know, MySpace. They went to the Facebook. Now, a lot of people, that's why you see Facebook, they change the name. They go to the metaverse, you know what I mean? So when you're looking at the investment, when you're looking at everything, you see what's next, the next 10 years, what's the value? I mean, in the finance that we're talking about, we have to find how we can get these younger, you know, out graduate from the college, you know, and actually, you know, they're building their life, they're building the saving, they're building the investment. How can we go and find out is easiest way, but also with compliance, because it's very important that they know that the poor, you know, young kid doesn't get ripped off because of somebody come up with something and they went bankrupt or just experiment something. They have to steal. And so this is a good thing in these companies that they are working on some sort of kind of to go get to the younger people, the newer generations. So that's a good thing.
Want to increase the profits in your business? Download Richard's ebook right now. Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It will help you find new ways to increase your profits. Best of all, it's free. Go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.
I get this is the early stage of the next wave, I mean, but what I envisage happening is a highly digital world, right? We've gone through the first wave. the pandemic. And what happened there was we all went uber digital. We jumped on Zoom. I met Sydney. I met so many people during that wave. Now, the next wave is taking us through this evolution of the next wave of digital, which is, in inverted commas, I'm going to say the metaverse, but the metaverse with being able to transact in the metaverse, right? And looking at, you know, how you can use, as an example, potentially digital twins to go into the metaverse, take a look at various locations, let's just say in Atlanta or in London, and say, yes, I want to buy a plot of land. And actually, I've got the data here at my fingertips. And all of a sudden, boom, with a click of a button, because you've got real-time data, you can transact. And I feel that the evolution that we're going through right now, the potential winners coming out of that are people that create this universe or this ecosystem where we can do these types of transactions. I don't know if you are the same opinion or maybe slightly different opinion, but yeah, it would be good to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I just tweeted about a couple of weeks ago something that said about NFT in the metaverse is going to be as common as a paperclip.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, that's how I see it. Because, you know, remember everybody, you said we're all going to have a chip in our arm and, you know, a digital identity, wherever we go.
Yeah.
And some people think that it's just, I don't believe in that. But digital identity in the metaverse, it's going to happen. All of us, we're going to have a digital identity and in the metaverse. And some of the metaverses started the gaming, you go there, but a lot of them, it's just very, very interesting because I just saw some project basically that it's so real. You know, you're in London with some of those in music, you know, like in the music industry, they had just some avatar. They make exactly like you are. I mean, they just did the concert for the ABBA. I mean, and I met the people who done it. So we're going to have an avatar. We're going to be going to the metaverse and we're going to be shopping, but also we have friends. But it's more than that. For the B2B, basically, you know, I saw application that some of the people for clothing, for fashion, they usually, you know, if they want to buy something from another country to another country, they build it in Milan or in India or in, you know, other places, you know, come to London, come to New York. They usually have to send that product, some clothes, and they wear it and see how it is. But in metaverse, they can, you can see it, basically. Mm. It's right there. So you can kind of take out, and that's so real. They make this avatar so real. So I like the technology, and I think it's going to be, you know, all of us, we're going to have a digital identity on the metaverse, which is, that's why you see a lot of these branding companies, they get their stake there, you know, like Nike's and other, you know, I mean, you know, buying the land in metaverse. I mean, I haven't got it yet though, but you know, I can see that it works for communication, for business decision. And it gives a great experience. I mean, you know, some of those ideas, you know, in metaverse, you know, we are, you know, which I'm very excited that, you know, you can go to actually to the concert and, you know, you have that NFT, you go to the metaverse in a concert promotion. Metaverse is it's a way to go because, you know, we with the way, but do I like it? I still like that face-to-face you're talking about earlier you know, communication, digital, you know, Zoom and everything over there. I still think the humans in the future, they're going to miss that. They're going to miss the touching. They're going to miss to go and meet someone, you know, and sitting down having, you know, there's nothing to sitting down with, you know, break, you know, food with someone, you know what I mean? So yeah, but it works for businesses. It works for, you know, some of that.
I totally agree. I think as we go through this cycle, the more creative we are, the better the outcome is going to be. And I remember I was talking to a client the other day and, you know, they are looking at expanding the operations actually into different locations. And, you know, there's a bit of confusion and a bit of apprehension around certain things, which is cool. It happens. And I just said to them, I said, listen, the more creative you are right now, the more you create, whether it's a slideshow, whether it's a podcast, whether it's a new product, the more you create, the better your audience and your public are going to be able to receive you because they know that you're in it with them and you're wanting them to come out of whatever we're in right now together, right? So I think as entrepreneurs and founders and leaders in the fintech ecosystem, use right now as a creation period as well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely. And which we were mentioning earlier, this is a creation, you know, period, you know, restructure. That's what we did last year to all of our infrastructure in our company, FinTech World. And give you opportunity and just kind of stay right there, you know. But we go back to something that, you know, in Silicon Valley, I go speak in the different conferences, and they introduced me in Sydney Armani from Silicon Valley. And always that years ago, I said, Silicon Valley could be everywhere, basically. Yeah. So these innovations, these, you know, ideas come together. But I agree with you, you know, shows like you listening, that's what drive me. And I mean, that's what motivates me. You know, I always learn something new. I always find over there. But I always personally, you know, and, you know, being in Silicon Valley for years, I never liked the word disruption, and because it scares the old established, old school, you know, it's, you know, like people, like I said, who you are that you want to come and stop the disrupted. No, so you have to do a kind of a cooperation addition. You know, you have to do this basically. So you look at these companies that they want to bring something. And a lot of them, that's what happened in Google. You know, the guy works for Google. He goes and opens his own company and just guess what? Sell it to the Google again. So it's very important that we know the old tradition, old school still exists. We have to have that infrastructure. We have to have that tradition that finance is just not for everybody. We need to go to our financial advisor. We need to go listen to the podcast and your book and other things. So that's very, very important to me.
I agree. And now, as we wrap up this part of the show and we head into the flash round, what's the advice that you would like to give to those founders out there, those leaders out there, those evangelists out there that are plugging away, building through, you know, uncertain times? Well, what's the advice would you like to give them right now?
Yeah, and that's a great question, you know, because I experienced and I saw, I was actually advisor and also mentor at the Stanford University blockchain. Yeah. And some are a lot of those, you know, places that I was mentor and from level 39 in London, you know, and, you know, some of those places that I go and I saw those entrepreneurs. And, you know, it's very good. I always believe in entrepreneurs. I was an entrepreneur since I was 14 years old, you know, basically selling, you know, different things like, you know, picture frame. I buy a picture and sell it to my grandmother. she wanted the discount.
That's not nice. That's not nice. Yeah, you should give stuff to your grandmother.
it was a picture. I remember it was like a picture. I bought it. I passed by somewhere. So, oh, these are beautiful pictures. So I bought some of them, sold it to our family members. But entrepreneurs in these days, I mean, it's a different than the other entrepreneurs. Like I was mentioning about the nudists and the late shift, it's very, if they very highly recommend it a lot. And it shows that somebody is actually sleeping under the desk, basically, you know, and they work hard, they, you know, but as things are changed right now, I always give, you know, people that, you know, some money, and basically in Silicon Valley, they call it spray and pray. That's what they give, a little bit money to there, a little bit money to there. And some of them make it, some of them, you know, but I always believing if they're not even make it, because I go to the places that, you know, we bring these entrepreneurs that they fail, because once they fail, they have experience. So and I will go, and some of them, I give the money, next thing, you know, that, you know, I see them in the sushi bar, they think they made it. So getting money, you know, it's just a beginning, and, you know, you have to kind of work hard to go to get your goal. Idea, it doesn't mean anything until you accomplish it. You know, that you can't be halfway. You got to go all the way, and be careful who you have to in your team, basically, especially your, you know, co-founder. You want to have somebody as dedicated as you are, and, you know, you have a goal and you have an exit strategy, because that's very, very important, whatever it is. So my suggestion to, or my advice to all these entrepreneurs out there, try it. No try, no done. Yeah. But, you know, put it in the paper, learn as much as you could, and go with this structure of getting somewhere.
Yeah, brilliant. Some really sage advice there, folks. And, you know, from Sydney himself, who's, you know, lived and breathed this in Silicon Valley for a number of years. So now we get into the flash round. The flash round is some more fun at the end of the show. What is it? It is a 3-minute Q&A. I asked Sydney three questions, three sort of yes or no answers, pretty simple stuff, a bit of fun. And then I give the mic to the maestro himself, Sydney, and he asked me one question. It could be about anything.
Right, it's my turn, Don.
Exactly. That's the point. Right. So here we go. My three questions. What is the way of the future, crypto or fiat?
Both.
Oh, there we go. What growth strategy gives you the most bang for buck? community-led or product-led?
Absolutely community-led, community.
And who should we be looking at right now as rising stars out of this current shift in economic plates? Is it big tech or is it the pure fintechs?
Well, you know, I mean, there are pure fintech and fintech, you know, you cannot divide them. And I say both. I mean, you know, they go hands to hand. They are, you know, I mean, innovations and also pure tech and fintech, they all goes, there's always a space for innovations, basically. I'll make it easy for people, you know, to pay their bills, to save money and invest. So that's the both. Yeah.
Great answers. And you heard it from Sydney himself. So now I give the mic over to you, Sydney. And, you know, I can feel that you've been thinking of this question ever since we recorded. Yeah. I'm going to ask Richard this.
So, this is a surprise for you. We discussed it. So yeah. I had to come up, you know, something. But Richard, once again, thanks for having me at the show and, you know, all your great audience out there. You know, I mean, salute to them and, you know, hope they all be safe and all those other good things. And that's the most important thing. We just passed the, you know, pandemic where a lot of people passed away. A lot of people didn't. And that was a great innovation because, you know, they said if they didn't have that vaccine, you know, and then it would be another 20 million people died. So that's when the human come together, they really work, basically. They really come together. Yeah. So my question is from you. How does that work? And I got to come up with something good one. What drives you in your podcast? I mean, you know, and also your audience. And I know you're enjoying it. I've talked to you with it. But what's motivated you to do more of these podcasts, you know, and you know, getting out there, basically?
It's,
and your book.
Yeah. It's the feedback I receive from people out there, right? So in all honesty, if I wasn't receiving feedback from the community week in, week out, day in, day out, month in, month out, maybe I'd sort of, you know, not move on anymore. But being able to help someone in Vietnam, just 1% because he's listened to a show, that's amazing. To be able to help someone out in the US, someone out in Africa, someone out in the UK, because they've listened to the show and they've figured out that they should be doing X rather than Y. That's what I want, right? And that's what I've been aiming for. You know, democratize the way fintechs are scaled through industry experts and people that have been there and done it, and also on the journey themselves. And that drives me day in and day out. And also the other thing outside of that is the relationships. The relationships that I've made with the likes of yourself and all the other guests and all the community members and the community that I've built up is just phenomenal. So those two sort of things keep me going day in and day out and loving it.
Oh, well said and well done and good luck. You know, I'm looking forward to see a lot of these shows in the future and meet you in person.
Oh, yeah, brilliant. And as we end the show, I always like to ask the guests, how can the listeners out there get in touch with you and your team if they want to?
Yeah, I have many videos they can, you know, listen to now if they go to Sydney Armani and also I'm in LinkedIn. So I highly recommend to your audience. You know, I mean, I know you're very active in the LinkedIn, which is I get a lot of information there, you know, and that's, they can connect with me on the LinkedIn. I'd be glad to, you know, and which is good because either they can follow me or connect with me because I put a lot of good articles to use in the community, including your podcast, including other things that you have seen it. So I want them to do. It's just sharing the knowledge is a joy for me, very joy. Yeah. I'd be glad to contact. So it's Sydney Armani at LinkedIn.
Yeah, brilliant. And then, folks, don't worry about writing it down. I'll leave it in the show notes.
Okay.
So you can just copy and paste it in and you can connect with Sydney. And, you know, just to advocate what Sydney's saying there, I mean, I follow him because he you know, publishes such interesting articles and such interesting information. It's generally, in a way, weeks prior to others getting into the details out there. So, you know, I suggest get in touch with him, follow him, connect with him, and have a chat with him if you want to. So, Sydney, awesome having you on the show today. Looking forward to, obviously, meeting up in person at some point in time.
Likewise. But
also looking forward to developing our relationship and also going live with this episode pretty soon.
Thank you very much, Richard.
Thank you for listening to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. Please take advantage of the free gift Richard has waiting for you. It's his new ebook, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.